Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, good afternoon. We're doing our briefing an hour later today because I was speaking to about 300 mayors on a national conference call, and there's a lot of cities farther behind us who are deeply interested in what we're doing. Today we lost another 19 of our fellow citizens, and we are going to have to deal far more strictly with enforcing the governor's executive order on social distancing. If you haven't seen what's going on in New York City today, it is our future if we don't change our behavior. They've lost 1,500 people in New York City. They're predicting it's going to be 3,000 within 3 days. They have closed down their parks. They're talking about drafting doctors into the army. They're seizing ventilators. If we don't change what we're doing, we're going to be there. And so for the last week or two at the Detroit Police Department, our biggest concern was making sure that we had enough officers to make patrol. And the Detroit Police Department has done a great job of that. We've now brought 175 officers back to work. And I'm very pleased to say that the Abbott Labs 15-minute machine is working beautifully. We've had 21 officers tested negative and cleared to go back to work in the last 3 hours. We've had a handful that were positive, but the great majority are coming back negative. Those who came back positive, we're making sure they get appropriate medical care, and we'll be testing 250 officers in the next few days. And so the Detroit Police Department is gaining a good deal of confidence. We've got the resources to deal with these violations. To be clear, the governor's directives are this. If you don't have an essential reason to be out, you can't be out. You're subject to a $1,000 fine. We don't want to be fining anybody, but we can't be having these gatherings. We can't be having folks on the street. And while it hasn't been made a federal or state order yet, the people who are around me are all wearing masks because we're looking at this data. The first 1,000 tests have now come back from the fairgrounds. 43% of the people tested are testing positive. This is double the testing rate the state has seen since this started. If you are in a group of 5 or 6 people, it is almost a mathematical certainty that one of the people in that group has COVID-19. And they may be very mild, they may not be showing symptoms, but they are spreading that infection to you without you knowing. It is time for people in this community to put on a mask or put on a scarf before you go out in public, because there is a significant chance that people who have no idea they're sick are spreading it to others. I talked to the governor last night about this at length. We are going to do everything in our power to get in large numbers of surgical masks. I certainly don't want to see anybody getting on a DDOT bus that doesn't have their mouth covered, because it isn't as much the drivers, although they certainly are very much on my mind, but the passengers are tending to cluster at the back of the buses. It is really important, if you're going to an essential job and you're on the bus, to have your mouth covered. And I'm hoping by the next week we can buy enough surgical masks to have them available. I don't know if we're going to be able to do that or not, but I'm hoping that we have enough surgical masks before the end of next week to make sure everybody who rides a bus has one. But in the meantime, you can use a scarf, find your own mask, but anytime you're interacting with people, we need to have our mouths covered. Before I turn it over to James White, I just want to say a special thank you to the employees of DDOT. Yesterday, their world was shaken, the loss of Jason Hargroves in such a heartbreaking way. But then their union president, Glenn Tolbert, who I was speaking to him through much of the day and encouraged him to get a test. He was one of the first ones to get the 50-minute test. I would never break patient confidence, but he has said this publicly already. He tested positive. So imagine the drivers getting hit with that double blow. And we didn't know what was going to happen this morning. Our drivers showed up for work, and we made full pullout. And to listen to the response that they felt, that the steps that we had taken in closing the front doors, creating the separation, doing the cleaning, these drivers got up today, and they served you because they had essential trips that you had to go take care of a loved one. You had to get to an essential job. They're there for you. Respect them. Cover your mouth before you get on the bus, and for everybody. And one of the drivers said today, I was more scared at Sam's Club yesterday than I was on the bus. We've got real issues with distancing in our public places. And so I have said to Assistant Chief White, I expect the Detroit Police Department to be very strong in dealing with groups that are gathered that have no legitimate business a reason to be in public. He has got a plan that is going to start to be enforced, and I am going to back him in everything that he asks me to do. And with that, let me turn it over to Assistant Chief White.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good afternoon, everybody. I want to echo the mayor's sentiments as well with the men and women of the Detroit Police Department showing up every day, doing this work. It's just incredible, the commitment that the men and women of our department have. We've returned 175 members to work. They're eager to work. We've already returned over 20 additional today with our 15-minute testing, and we're very encouraged by that program and hope to have a number of other officers returning to work. And again, they're very eager to come and serve our citizens. As the mayor indicated, we are going to ramp up our enforcement in the DPD as it relates to the governor's ordinance on social distancing. This is a very serious issue. We're all impacted by it. Certainly, when it warms up in Detroit, we love summers in Detroit, and we certainly want, at some point when this is over, for our parks to be filled with kids and having fun and enjoying themselves. That's what the ultimate goal is. But we all must sacrifice, and we have to sacrifice right now. And that sacrifice will begin or continue today. We're going to implement a four-point plan. The first part of that plan is special attentions to all parks in the police department or in the city of Detroit. The police department command staff have been put on notice to provide special attention to all the parks. That's going to be accomplished in a number of different ways, but one key way that's going to be accomplished is with our neighborhood police officers. The neighborhood police officers are going to be out engaged, looking for violators of the governor's ordinance and taking enforcement action. We don't want to take enforcement action. We certainly understand that these are stressful times, and certainly we would hope to not have to take enforcement action, but it's in the best interest of the community and the people as a whole to take this action, and we're going to take the action. And as many of you know, that action includes up to a $1,000 fine, and it could possibly result in 6 months in jail. Again, we don't want to do that, but we must take this very, very seriously. In addition to that, we're going to increase our staffing at our real-time crime center. We're going to leverage our technology, utilizing the green light locations. We're also going to use our air support unit to do some flyovers to see what the activities are at the parks. And we're also going to ask that the community help us. We're asking for the community to serve as our eyes and ears. This temporary sacrifice can lead to a fantastic summer in Detroit when we're past this, but right now we must stay inside. We must keep that separation. Certainly taking a short walk and exercising the 6-foot distancing is not a problem, but parks and playing basketball and things like that, it's problematic. In addition to that, I've asked the mayor if we could start to look at some of the chronic violators at some parks with the basketball rims and start to remove those rims from those areas so that we can get those groups to disperse. And I'm also going to be asking that we could restrict the traffic flow in some of the parks, vehicular traffic. And certainly we hope to not have to do what New York is doing. New York, I don't know if anyone has seen the papers with regards to them closing their parks. We hope to not have to do that. Our community has been cooperative for the most part, and we hope to continue that relationship and ask that they police themselves, if you will, and not utilize the parks during this pandemic. If that happens, then hopefully we won't have to ask for the approval to get those parks closed. But if it doesn't show immediate results with these actions, then the next steps will be to make that request. Something that, again, that we certainly hope to not have to do. But again, a temporary sacrifice for the overall good. So with that, I'll turn it back over to the mayor.
So we've had significant debate throughout the day about whether to close all the parks in the city right now. I can't put the police department in a position that they are repeatedly having to go in and deal with groups. So we've taken the interim step. We've taken down the basketball hoops off about 18, where the police have specifically asked that we do that. And we're asking the public to support us on this. I want people to be able to go out and take a walk or a run right now and use the parks and stay 6 feet away from their neighbors. There's no reason our large parks can't be enjoyed by people spacing themselves out at 6 feet apart. But if we're going to continue to have the gathering, we're just not going to have any choice. I mean, we lost 19 people yesterday. It's because people are clustering. And so we are asking the citizens of this city to help us. We're putting extra staff in the real-time crime center. We'll be watching our 700 green light cameras for signs of gathering. But if you see people gathering, we ask that you not call 911, but you call your local precinct. Your precinct telephone number is on the city webpage. Just go onto the page and look up police precincts. Call the precinct directly. Those commanders are instructed that it is a high priority to get units out immediately. So you can put pictures on Facebook, that's all fine, but call the precinct first because we can respond a whole lot faster if you tell the police about the gathering crowds. I don't know if we can bend the curve in Detroit. They failed to do it in New York, and the loss of life is almost unimaginable. We've got to come together in this city. On the positive side, a couple hours ago, Dr. Steve Hahn, the head of the Food and Drug Administration in Washington, D.C., called me to say that Henry Ford's medical group has been awarded approval for the FDA test that Dr. Bill O'Neill and the team talked to you about yesterday. And so we're really proud that Henry Ford will be a national leader in a treatment that, if it works, will help prevent this in the future. And so they are now enrolling 3,000 people. If you want to be a part of this, you're willing to have your blood taken, you're willing to take 8 pills a week for the next 8 weeks. If you're a healthcare worker, a police officer, firefighter, EMT, bus driver, first responder, go to the henryford.com website, volunteer to enroll. Folks are going to start to get enrolled next week. The sooner we get this kind of research in, the sooner we can start to beat this virus once and for all. Testing is going to be the key. And I just raised the testing limits of the fairgrounds again. We've been at 600 tests a week this week. We're going up to 700 tests a week starting Saturday. Detroit is the one place in this state where you can get a free test. Testing is available to Detroiters. like no other area. If you don't have a doctor, go to our websites. There are 30 doctors taking patients now. Most of them don't require you to have any money, don't require you to have any insurance. You should have a doctor anyway. Call up, get a doctor's appointment. Many of them will do it over the phone. Get your prescription. And once you have the prescription, we are making sure every single Detroiter can get tested. The tests are free. You don't have to pay for them. One of the issues that has been raised with me by a lot of folks in this town is, I don't have a car. We can't have a standard of health care in this city that those who have cars can get tested and those who don't are just stuck. And so I'm very proud of Mark DeLaverne and our team who have reached a deal today with a vendor called Intelliride. And starting on Monday, any Detroiter that doesn't have a car, isn't able to drive, can get a $2 ride, same as a bus fare, up to the fairgrounds, get treated, and be brought back home. It'll be a $2 ride, and if you don't have the $2, they'll take you anyway. This is going to be open to everybody. You have to be a resident of the city and get picked up at your house in the city or your apartment in the city, and they'll take you right back. You can start making appointments tomorrow for a Monday test, where the ride will be provided. And so here's how it works. You get your prescription from your doctor. They aren't that hard. We've got 4,000 appointments already. Somebody telling you it's hard to get a prescription, it is not, but you do have to have symptoms. We don't give prescriptions to people who don't have symptoms. That's a state mandate. But if you've got a cough, if you've got shortness of breath, if you've got a fever, you can get a prescription. When you call to get your appointment to the fairgrounds and you say, I want to come 2 to 3 on Monday, if you say to that operator, I don't have a car, they will connect you immediately to Intelliride. Intelliride will book that ride for you, and Monday at 1:30 or 1:45, the car will show up. It will be a sanitized car. You'll be asked to put on a mask before you get in the car. The driver will have a mask. They will take you up to the fairgrounds. You will get tested, and the driver will take you right back home. We want every single Detroiter, regardless of your income, regardless of your neighborhood, if you've got symptoms, we're going to make sure you have access to these tests. And so if a lack of transportation was a reason not to get a test, pick up the phone tomorrow, call the testing center. You gotta get your doctor first, but you get your doctor, pick up the phone, make your appointment tomorrow. They will schedule you starting Monday. And from Monday forward, if you need a ride, we will provide that ride for you. One last issue that I want to update on today, and that is the water restoration program, which has been an enormous success. Governor Whitmer was a great partner in setting up the $25 program and set up a program that if you couldn't afford the $25, the state would pay it for you. And we had 1,100 people through an extensive outreach of door knocking, billboards, social media, public media, and Gary Brown and the Detroit Water Department have done a great job. They've gotten through the entire 1,000-plus houses that needed a simple restoration. They are now, with the help of Plumbers Union Local 98, going into houses for people who had significant plumbing problems. But at this point, everybody in the city of Detroit who does not have running water, unless the plumbers are fixing their pipes, should have had it restored. If you know anyone who does not have running water in their house, help them call this number, and Gary Brown and the Water Department will be out in 48 hours to restore it. But we have completed the restoration of shut-off water in the city, other than those with major pipe problems. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to Director Brown to describe how they've done it and what kind of support we have going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First, let me just thank the men and women of DWSD, especially the field service technicians who are out there working in adverse conditions, dealing with the same issues that the coronavirus is facing all of us with. So I just have to thank them. This program, it only takes one thing to get involved in the $25 Restart program, and that's to be living in a house that's occupied without water. And we made this program extremely easy to get into. You don't have to come down to DWSD. All you have to do is make a phone call. As soon as that phone call is made, a work order will be issued and a crew will be on its way to take care of the problem. And so this is an opportunity for any Detroiter who is not having the service of water to get it on by just making a phone call and getting the crew on the way. And at the end of this program, we should have every single Detroiter with water. Thank you.
All right. And one of the areas where we're seeing issues with social distancing is our grocery stores, our party stores, et cetera. And there's another area that we need to be better neighbors to protect your fellow Detroiters. And to speak to that, our health director, Denise Fair.
Thank you, Mayor Duggan. And I hope all Detroiters are staying home and doing what it takes to stay healthy. So let me share with you today's stats. As of today, there are 3,572 confirmed COVID-19 cases in the city and 116 confirmed deaths. Now, these numbers are rising. And we have our drive-through testing for Tri-County residents at the State Fairgrounds. And in fact, early this morning, I was at the health department where we are now offering on-site testing for our first responders. So the numbers are going to rise because we are now testing even more. But today, I want to talk specifically to the grocery store and convenience store owners. Retail food, beverage, and related services bring people from multiple communities into close contact with each other. Unfortunately, this has the potential to increase COVID-19 transmission in our community. And although food has not been identified as a likely source of COVID-19 infection, we do know that close contact with others can lead to the spread of this virus. Now, the governor implemented an executive order, which is 2020-21. It states, and I quote, "Business and operations maintaining in-person activities must adopt social distancing practices and other mitigation measures to protect workers and patrons." So what does this mean? Today, I want to share some best practices with our grocery and convenience store owners about what this means to prevent COVID-19. So the first is to restrict the number of workers on the premises. This essentially means reducing the number of workforce to ensure the needs of customers are met. So we're not unnecessarily putting workers and customers in harm's way. One of the other recommendations was to promote remote work to the fullest extent possible. And while there are opportunities, employees who are able to do so should be allowed to work from home. And this helps to reduce the number of persons inside the store. Keeping workers and patrons at least 6 feet from one another, this allows for the reduction of social contact. And this could be accomplished by marking the floor with tape, which again greatly reduces the spread of COVID-19. Increasing standards of facility cleaning to help reduce workers' and patrons' exposure. This means that employee bathrooms should be cleaned on a regular basis and providing toiletries. All hard surfaces, including shopping carts, condiment trays, checkout areas, credit card keypads, gas pumps, entrance door handles should be cleaned and sanitized as often as possible. Again, adopting policies to ensure workers adopting policies to prevent workers from entering the premises if they have symptoms. Again, policies should be updated to include language that specifies employees who are sick should remain home. So again, if you have employees that are sick, they should remain home. And then again, regular social distancing practices. This could include limiting the number of customers in the store, removing tables and seating, roping them off so that customers may not linger. allowing for outside pickup or delivery option, and again, ensuring 6 feet of distance between customers waiting in line. Now, the goals of these actions are twofold. One is to protect the workers and the community, and the second is to reduce community transmission and introductions of COVID-19 into our communities. So this is my expectation, and I am counting on store owners to do their part, and this will help us to slow the spread of COVID-19. I do want to thank our store owners for the important role that they play in providing vital sources of nutrition and jobs to our communities. And I can't say it enough, COVID-19 has no boundaries. So we need to work together as a community and take care of each other. Again, making sure that you're washing your hands, cleaning those high-touch surfaces, when you are coughing into a sleeve or a tissue, keeping distance between you and others, and most importantly, please stay home. Again, the Detroit Health Department, we are here for you. We are in this together, and please, please stay safe. Thanks.
With that, we'll take any questions. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, Jim Kirstner with Channel 7. Mr. Mayor, you talk about how you want people to stay home. You don't want to do arrests. You don't want to put people in jail. There was a video posted from last night where there was a big gathering at a Detroit gas station. They talked about when the police showed up that they needed to scatter. They're out there in defiance of all of these ongoing orders. And we're seeing people say, if you fine people, if you arrest people, how can that be effective? The courts are closed. Are you going to jam 50 or 100 people into a jail if you show up at a scene like last night? How do you enforce everything that's on the books with the reality of what's going on out there?
Let me start by saying that in no uncertain terms, that conduct is dangerous. I mean, the bottom line is the conduct is dangerous, and this is about not only saving everyone's life, but the people that are engaging in the behavior need to take the responsibility as well. So if they're not, then certainly we're going to have to take some enforcement action. And as I stated earlier, it's not something that we want to do, but we are going to do.
That's not the question. The question is, how can you, in reality, give somebody a ticket for a $1,000 fine and they don't show up to pay it, the courts are closed, plus you had a big group out there, are you going to round them all up and put them in jail? My question is, with all due respect, how do you enforce what's on the books with the reality?
The courts are going to open someday. So we are going to deal with this in reasonable ways. There is a reason why the city of New York had to close down all of its parks. It's exactly what you're saying, that it was easier to close the parks than to chase people down, write them tickets, and the like. We have issued tickets already. We will issue tickets going forward. And when this is over, we will enforce those tickets. If we have to close parks, we'll close parks. What we're saying here is we don't want to do that. And the vast majority of this city has been terrific. The number of calls we're getting, people are angry when they see these gatherings. They understand that those people who are gathering are putting everybody's life in danger. But we may also need stronger and stronger voices from friends and relatives of the individuals gathering. But we're going to step it up. We're going to step up the tickets. And we're going to continue to take stricter and stricter action until we get enforcement.
Okay, we have a number of questions from reporters who are watching remotely. First one is the city considering imposing a curfew?
Yeah, at this point, we are assessing all the options, but we are having as many violations of groups in park during the day as we have at night, but Assistant Chief White and Chief Craig and I are talking about all these options every day. If we have to go to a curfew, we will, but we haven't made that decision at this point.
Okay. Can Assistant Chief White elaborate a little bit on how Project Greenlight will be incorporated into your effort to keep people from congregating in large crowds?
Sure, but even before we get into Project Greenlight, we're calling on all of our residents to help us, to utilize notifying us, contacting their local precinct, go on the website, find their precinct phone number and give us a call and let us know where any groups are congregating. But when you talk about the green light specifically, we'll be leveraging technology, as I said, looking at some film or some video from our green light partners. We have a number of green lights throughout the city that will give us an opportunity to see what type of activity is going on, not just at parks, but any area where people are congregating.
A couple of health-related questions. The mayor of New York is advising residents to wear non-professional-grade face masks. Are you considering doing the same here in Detroit? Yeah.
You know, I think this should come from the governor, and so I'm not giving this to you as an official order because I don't have the authority to do that. But I think at this point, anybody who is going to be within 6 feet of anybody in public should have their mouth covered. I am telling you this, if you are in a group of five or six people, somebody in that group, and it might be you, you might not be symptomatic yet, it might be you, is spreading this infection to other people. And the only way to stop it is to cover our mouths. And so you saw us all come in with face masks on. It's because we are looking at this data and understand that. I will leave it to the governor to make, she has the authority to make orders. But I think the right thing to be doing right now, and we're looking at this, we're well over 40% infection rate on the suburban test. This is southeastern Michigan. If you're out in southeastern Michigan and mixing with people and don't have a mask on, you're potentially putting others at risk.
What do you make of reports of data that show a disproportionate number of African Americans who are being infected and passing away from COVID?
Yeah, what the reports are showing is a higher mortality rate for African Americans than Caucasians. And this is part of the racial inequity in our healthcare system that has existed for a long time. I spent 9 years at the Detroit Medical Center. Someone remember when I got hired as a CEO of the Detroit Medical Center, it was because the board had announced they were closing Receiving Hospital and Hutzel Hospital, and we're about to close Sinai Grace Hospital, and the disparate health impact on the African-American community would have been disastrous. But the truth is, right now, even before COVID-19, African-Americans are 20% more likely to have heart disease, two or three times more likely to have asthma and kidney disease. And so I'd let Dr. Khaldun talk about this. She's the doctor, but here's the reality. People are being infected at basically the same rate. 80% of folks have relatively minor symptoms, but the 20% who have serious symptoms end up in the hospital, end up on a ventilator. If you already have heart disease, your ability to fight off that infection is worse. If you already have COPD or serious asthma, your ability to fight off that infection is worse. If you're elderly, it's worse. And I think we're seeing the impact of health care in this country, which has been disparate between the black and white communities. When you add an infection onto that, we are seeing a difference in the mortality rates. We are also seeing a difference in mortality rates between men and women. We're seeing a 62% mortality. If you look at the deaths, 62% of the deaths have been men, 38% women, even though men and women are being infected at the same rate. And so we're seeing these disparities. They've been in our system for a long time. And COVID-19 makes it worse, and it's all the more reason that we should be careful to protect our neighbors.
Okay, and finally, for now, we've got a few DDoT-related questions. Are bus drivers allowed to take advantage of the Greektown Casino offer?
Yeah, so I think we announced that yesterday, but we have opened up the free hotels to DDoT drivers who have somebody at home that's elderly, who may have heart disease or asthma and may be medically compromised, and you don't want to go home to them. We have extended the offer of the housing to DDoT workers. We are treating our DDoT drivers as first responders across the city now.
In addition to the measures that you've already taken and mentioned today, are there any more plans to keep DDoT bus drivers safer, considering partitions on the buses or anything like that?
From the drivers I have talked to, the riders are respecting the distance. Once in a while we have an issue and the transit police will deal with it. But I don't think that's the immediate issue. I actually think today I'm more concerned about the riders at the back of the bus infecting each other, which is why I think you should cover your mouth before you get on that bus. But we're talking to the DDoT leadership, the drivers union leadership, every day, and I've told them absolutely anything I can do to protect them, I will. I think most drivers feel that the closing of the doors was a hard decision to make. A lot of cities have not closed the doors because they need the fare box money. We made a decision to give up that fare box money to protect the drivers. I think that was probably the single biggest step that we could take, but we're talking to the union leadership every day about other things we can do together. As I'm talking to the Detroit police officers leadership and the firefighter and EMTs leadership, we're all talking, we're working together in a really cooperative way to protect the health of our city employees.
Okay, and last question I've got is also DDoT related. One reporter is hearing stories that with the fare being free for the rides now, that some individuals may be using the buses as shelter and staying on long term. Are we doing anything with that population?
So, I don't believe that's true. I've asked the drivers and they tell me it's not. Here's what happens. If the route starts at 9 Mile and goes down to downtown and ends up at the Rosa Parks Transit Center, we clean that bus and whoever's on there is moved off. Then it makes a trip back up to 9 Mile. We clean that bus again. We're cleaning the buses at the end of every trip, and we're moving people off at the end of every trip. The drivers tell me that I've talked to a bunch of drivers yesterday. They tell me that's being enforced. So I've seen no evidence that what you're saying is true. It may be more people get on the bus because it's there, but we are not seeing people like just stay on the bus and ride all day. I'm told by the drivers that's not happening.
Okay, that's it.
All right, anything else? Thank you all very much.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.